We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We are back at it on KMOX. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line coming up this hour. We're about 10 minutes away from talking with Danny Wexelman, St. Louisan, part of the team at ESPN and MLB Network Radio. She is going to be in Baltimore as she is going to be hosting on MLB Network Radio tomorrow. Also, Kevin Wheeler is going to join us later on this hour as we do the third part of our three-part series regarding the Cardinals season. So what are the legit expectations for this Cardinals season? It's a good question. Kevin Wheeler and I were talking about this today, how the teams in the NL Central and the teams that have the widest range between like what their worst season would be and what their best season could be. And my argument is actually that the Pittsburgh Pirates have the widest range. They've got a nice little team that they've put together there, but they're the Pirates, and they never do anything. Even when they do seemingly have nice teams, I mean, this could be a 60 win team in Pittsburgh, or it could be an 85 win team in Pittsburgh. That's like a 25 game range in terms of wins on what they could be. So that's what I'm talking about. We're talking about the floor and the ceiling of a possible season. I think the Cardinals' range is quite large as well. I don't think it's quite that of the Pirates. I think this team had everything. I'm not saying what I'm about to say is an excuse for last year, because the roster was not put together well. The team, it just that I think we can in hindsight look back at last year's team and say that in all likelihood that team was never going to be overly successful. But making it worse last year was the fact that it was one of those, if it could go wrong, it would go wrong kind of seasons. And generally speaking, that doesn't happen multiple years in a row. So again, that takes us back to what is the legitimate expectations for this team. And if this team was playing in just about any other division in baseball, maybe other than the AL Central, we would be having a very different conversation. Because on paper, this team doesn't stand up with the best teams in the Eastern and Western divisions, for the most part. They just don't. And there's still some work that could potentially be done as the year goes along. But when you think about them in terms of being in the NL Central and kind of being in that second group of teams in the National League, to me it's very clear there's this upper echelon of teams in the National League. You've got the Dodgers, who might be in a class of their own, but you can include the Braves, you can include the Phillies. And then there's this next group of teams. And most of the teams in the National League are in that next group of teams. You look at the NL Central, honestly, there's not a whole lot separating out the Cardinals from the Cubs, from the Reds, from the Brewers, and the Pirates just on paper. Any of these teams can finish with very similar records this upcoming season. Now, there's a benefit to that for the Cardinals, that there is a path to the playoffs without winning 90 plus games. And that's true for any team with all the extra wild cards this year, but it's a little bit easier when you're in a division like the NL Central. But that's not what fans want to hear. I already know what 80% of the people listening to this right now are thinking as I'm talking through this. They don't want to hear about the Cardinals just being a playoff team. they want to hear about the Cardinals being a team that can go make some noise in the playoffs. And that remains the big question on whether or not they're able to do that. Is, you know, can this team not just be a playoff team? I think clearly they can be a playoff team. I don't think it's clear that they will be a playoff team. I would pick them to finish first in the NL Central, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Cubs won the NL Central. I wouldn't be shocked if the Reds won the NL Central. I wouldn't be shocked I'd be a little bit shocked if the Brewers won the NL Central, but I felt the same that way about the Brewers last year, and they end up winning the division. Now there's some pretty big pieces that aren't there anymore, most notably Corbin Burns. But there's not that much of a difference there either, and that's an organization that's had a relatively good amount of success here in recent years. So legit expectations for the Cardinals, I think it's fair to expect this team to be contending for the division. I think it's fair to expect this team to be pushing for a playoff spot. I think it's fair to expect this team to be an above 500 team. And if they're doing all of those things and they get the bounce backs from Lance Lynn and from Kyle Gibson and from Miles Michaelis and Matt Carpenter and Brandon Crawford, this could be a pretty good club. It could be a pretty good club. But expectations are not just, it's not just betting on the best case scenario. It's kind of what is the minimum that this team could do this year. And I think at a very minimum, this is going to be a team that is contending for a playoff spot and contending to win a division. And if they can be in that spot, maybe a little something more can happen as the season goes along. And we'll talk about it throughout the year because, like we said, the starting rotation without Sonny Gray in it, it doesn't look, this is not a group that you would probably want to go into a postseason series with, right? Miles Michaelis and Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, those are not the guys that you say, these are the guys I want starting the first game of a playoff series. Sonny Gray is. I think Sonny Gray absolutely is a guy that you would feel comfortable with starting that first game. But there are question marks. There are clear question marks, and the Cardinals will try to start answering some of those questions beginning tomorrow. We'll come back. We will talk with Danny Wexelman, St. Louisan, part of ESPN, part of MLB Network Radio. We'll preview the baseball season with her. She joins us in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
your home of the Cardinals.
Arenado swings and hits it deep to left field. That ball is out of here.
The Billikens.
Jumper. Yes! Billikens win!
The Chiefs.
Touchdown! Kansas City!
We are America's sports voice. KMOX.
Back out on a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX on opening day eve. Again, our coverage tomorrow, Cardinals and Dodgers, will begin at 2:15, 3:10 for the first pitch. We're going to head back to the Quiver River Electric guest line. Welcome on one of my favorite people to be able to talk baseball with. She is a St. Louisan. She's made it big with ESPN and MLB Network Radio. She's our friend, Danny Wexelman. You follow her on Twitter, at Danny Wex. Danny, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. Matt, you've got me blushing over here. I am so honored to be here. I always get excited when I get to talk to anybody in St. Louis, my hometown, and the place I grew up. So I'm super stoked. I feel like a little kid tonight. I'm getting ready for tomorrow and opening day, and I know everyone is excited, even if maybe you're not thrilled about the team today. But guess what? It's okay. The team is going to look a little different come midway. It's not going to be the same all year long.
I know we need baseball games that count because looking at your Twitter account, I can see that you have spent the day reading the MLB pronunciation guide.
Wait, what a nerd am I, right? Literally, I spent the last hour while I'm listening to interviews because I'm doing Orioles Angels opening day tomorrow in Baltimore. But I am such a nerd. I don't know if everybody knows this about me, but I had a seventh grade teacher, and I'm blanking on her name right now, at LaSalle Springs. And she taught us the to be verbs, and I've never forgotten those. And I just feel like with journalism, I'm just obsessed with like a good pronunciation guide.
It helps, right? Like, because when you find out that you've been pronouncing somebody's name wrong, you feel like the smallest person in the world. But then you're like, if somebody just would have given me a pronouncer, I never would have made that mistake.
Exactly. I take a lot of pride in being able to pronounce names correctly. And nothing makes me more frustrated when people don't tell you how to do it, but also when there's no guide. So I love a good pronunciation guide, and I follow it very strictly, Matt.
Very good. Shout out to the public relations folks and sports information folks across the land.
Yeah.
You're involved in college baseball. That's where you really need it. And the SIDs and at the college level are fantastic.
Oh, they're next level. They are so good. They give us the guides. They make sure that we know. They text me during the game if we happen to miss one. But, yeah, I mean, listen, your name is your most important thing to you, right? It's the thing that's said the most about you. And so I want to get it right. Like, my job is to get it right, to make your family proud. So, yeah, when I mess up, like, that's a stain on my resume if I don't get a name right, especially a name you should know. So I'm paying close attention, but yeah, I'm such a nerd. I just love to sift through those things.
When I was doing AAA baseball with the Rockies, we got Nolan Arenado, and I went up to him before the season, and I asked him, how do you say your last name? Is it Arenado or Arenado? And he wouldn't tell me. And finally, I go, if I was talking to your mom right now, what would she say? And he says, it's Arenado. And then clearly, nobody with the Rockies ever had that conversation with him because he was always Nolan Arenado with the Rockies. It wasn't until he got to St. Louis that they started going Arenado.
Yeah, you got to get it right, especially with a guy of that caliber. But that's what a lot of guys will do. They do it when I cover high school prospects and college prospects. They don't care. But I try to tell them, listen, we want to get it right. I don't want to mispronounce your name. I don't want your parents to be mad. So just do me a favor and tell me right now, and I will never get it wrong. But if you don't tell me, I'm going to say it wrong, and I'm going to look silly, and then I'm going to be mad at you. So let's avoid that situation and get the name right.
Do you like what the Cardinals have done this offseason as I abruptly make a left turn?
Yeah, let's take a hard left turn there. Do I like what they've done? I like what they've done. I don't love what they've done, but I like the idea, and I think the intent behind John Mozeliak's decisions and his additions and what they felt like was important for this ball club. I think he addressed some of the major issues when it came to the pitching staff, their starting staff guys that they lost, innings that needed to be replaced, the swing and miss issues from last year. I don't love it. I thought that once we've seen some of the free agent signings, particularly Jordan Montgomery, who just signed yesterday with the Arizona Diamondbacks for what looked like a steal. So I think that there could have been different upgrades made, but this is the route that this team chose to go with the money they wanted to spend this year. So I'm kind of like at a five. I sit in the middle. I don't hate it. I don't love it, but it is what it is right now, I guess.
Victor, maybe the biggest story going into the season is injuries, and connected to that is now the opportunity for a Victor Scott II to make his major league debut. I saw him down spring. I mean, he's got so much speed. Cardinals fans are just going to fall in love watching this guy play, especially if he can find a way to get on base a lot. But it's fun at this time of the year to see these young players get ready to make their debuts.
Yeah, I got to cover him during the spring breakout as well when the Cardinals played. And he's so electric. This kid is one of those guys where when he's up to bat, you're probably going to make sure you already have your beer, you have your hot dog and whatever you need, and you're sitting your butt in your seat to watch him play, because everything happens really quickly with Victor Scott, and he does everything really quickly, and he's really exciting to watch. Now, listen, he's going to have an adjustment to make at the major league level, but this was, we got to throw this kid in the fire because we need help and we have injuries, and so this is where we're at. But I'm excited for him. I think that Ollie Marmol said at some point we would see Victor Scott II. I don't know if anyone anticipated it being on the opening day roster, but here we are. And like I said, I think sometimes fans and just people watching in general and the media get a little too dramatic, a little too animated sometimes, and are worried about the team on day one. Let's worry about the team on day, I don't know, 70. Let's get a little farther down the road and get halfway through and then kind of assess what's going on. But yeah, I think you used the right word. It's opportunity. There's a lot of opportunities for a lot of different guys. I think about Alec Burleson and Brendan Donovan as well, who are going to get a chance to show off a little bit more. And listen, that's their game. And so let's see what they do with it. I think that right now you're just starting the season, so let's not panic quite yet.
And Zach Thompson is another guy. There's a bunch of guys who can try to force the Cardinals into tough decisions once players start getting healthy.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, again, the roster today is rarely ever the roster at the end of the season, and you have to be patient, right? You have to anticipate when you're going to get a chance to get called up, how you're going to be able to impact this club. I mean, listen, you look at a guy like Matthew Liberatore, right? Like, I'm curious to kind of see where he gets put into everything and how he gets situated. I was kind of listening, and I heard some chatter in camp about potentially earning a spot in that starting rotation. So who knows? Maybe he ends up working his way in and gets a chance to be a starter. Right now, he's listed in the bullpen for the Cardinals. But this is, I think what you have to understand is, like, this is a team who knows how to win. There's history there. There's foundation there. You have a ton of veteran guys. And so the key here is to play clean baseball. Play like you know how to, and don't press. Like, the second you press because you're stressed, because you don't have Sonny Gray there yet, you don't have some of your outfielders there yet, and that is very stressful. The second you start pressing is when you start to lose a lot of games, and you lose them and it snowballs very quickly. So I think the key is for this team to look at this opportunity and just take it literally just one inning at a time.
Finish you off with a serious note. You're in Baltimore for Orioles and Angels. What are you expected? It's obviously with the bridge in Baltimore, high emotions there. And this is one of those times where kind of sports and real life come together.
Yeah, that was horrific. My jaw dropped. I was told, I texted Melanie Newman right away, one of my good friends. She's out there broadcast for the Orioles, and she's always on the go. So I checked in with her and some of the other people I know out there. Just truly horrific to see that happen and to know that people's lives have changed forever and potential lives lost. I mean, ahead of opening day, right? And that is, I think, what makes sports so special. If I could turn it to, you know, the silver lining, is that the Orioles and that team and that city are going to go put them on their backs, mm-hmm. and they're going to play this season and uplift everyone around them. I mean, listen, it's really blue collar in Baltimore, right? Like, and I think, like, that bridge represents a lot. It represents a connector, literally, of cities. And so I am just, my heart goes out to those families and people who live and breathe Baltimore to have that happen. But I hope that the baseball season and this team, listen, I have this team winning the division. I have this team getting to the postseason and making a nice run. A lot of people have them going to the World Series. I mean, imagine this team being able to do that and maybe try to ease the hearts and the minds of some of the people in that community. But yeah, I just felt so awful, Matt, for Baltimore ahead of this season for that. But hopefully opening day can inspire and bring a little lightness to that situation.
Well, Danny, we really appreciate you taking some time with us. We'll catch up with you throughout the season, and have a great year.
Yeah, you too. I can't wait. Enjoy opening day. And then when it comes back to St. Louis, I hope you guys have the best time.
Awesome. Very good. That's Danny Wechselman from ESPN and MLB Network Radio. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We're back at it. It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. It is day three of our Cardinals season preview. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the results of the first Cardinals game. They match up against the Dodgers coming up tomorrow. We bring in our good friend Kevin Wheeler once again. Of course, you hear him on the Dave Glover Show. We did starting pitching a couple days ago. We did relief pitching yesterday, and we're going to really get into the lineup today. Hey, Wheels.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm ready for tomorrow.
I mean, dude, it's top two or three days of the year for me is opening day. I mean, I can't wait to get done with our version of the pregame, hand that over to you, and then get home to watch the game on TV and then tune into KMOX while I'm watching on TV.
Perfect.
And actually, on the MLB TV apps, you can do that. You can listen to the audio.
You can if you're not blacked out.
Yes, and I will be. So.
That's the problem. Yeah. Now, I'm lucky enough to have a non-blacked out version of MLB TV.
Ooh, what's your password?
And so on the weekends, that's what I'm able to do. I turn on the KMOX audio while I watch the games on TV. So
it's smooth. That's a good move.
I'm one of the few that has that. Yeah. I'm very lucky to be able to have that. The opening day roster was announced today. Nothing crazy. The move to get Victor Scott onto the 40-man roster was moving on from Jared Young. He was placed on outright waivers. Jose Fermin, who had a really nice spring, he goes to Memphis. I'm a little bit more when you compare last year, the situation at AAA on who that first guy up would be if you had an injury at shortstop or second base or even third. I feel better about it this year just based off the fact that Jose Fermin kind of looked like a different guy this year in spring.
I'm not buying it.
Okay.
To me, he's just a guy. I mean, I get it. Like, when you just need a fill-in to come in and play on the bench, I mean, it's not the end of the world. And you do have a lot of other guys that can move around, assuming Tommy Edmund gets healthy. And, you know, really having Crawford, Edmund, Donovan, and Mason Wynn, you should be okay. And Gorman, you should be okay in the middle infield.
You should.
Without that. But he did, I'll be honest with you, he did surprise me a little bit in the spring.
Yeah, I thought he looked different.
Yeah.
I had very low expectations for him going into spring, and he exceeded whatever those expectations were.
Yeah, it's just that when I wait, what I know from a player, especially guys that are, I mean, it's a little different for prospects, but not too much. 10%, 12% spring training performance, and then the other 90%+, 88%, 90%, that's what you've done before.
Right.
So that's why I'm
he's still a relatively young guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's still development to occur.
Hope so. I mean, seriously, I hope so, because it's good if he's good.
Yeah. It's because
that's
last
analysis
year
right there.
That's why we pay you the big bucks here at KMOX. I like this, especially when it's healthy. But you know what? The Tommy Edman, Dylan Carlson, Victor Scott, whoever's going to play center field thing, I don't actually think there's a whole lot of – the production's going to come in different ways, but the overall production, I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between those three guys. The team will obviously miss Lars Nootbaar. We'll see if Alec Burleson can do what he did in spring and continue that on. But generally speaking, I really like this lineup.
No, I do too. I mean, I think right now our questions are about the bottom two or three spots, right? 1 through 6, you're pretty good.
Yeah,
and that's before Nootbaar gets back. When Nootbaar gets back, you're good 1 through 7.
Well, but the 9 hitter is Mason Wynn, and there is zero expectations on him for
right. And look, 8, 9 at this point, those guys may not be the best hitters. We don't know. We don't know. But they also bring other things, right? I mean, Wynn is not Victor Scott, but he can run. He's a good defender, dynamic defender. One of those guys that makes the jaw dropping plays. Those guys can win games for you on the base paths and with their gloves. And if they hit close to league average, that's plenty. I mean, they're 8 and 9 hole. You don't need the 8th and 9th hole to be super strong spots offensively. You know, those players can be, it's okay if they're defense first and they bring some speed. But when you're looking at 1 through 6, you know, now and eventually 1 through 7 could be good. I mean, like, if it depends on where they hit Burleson or Carpenter along with Jordan Walker, they might split the, you know, they might use the lefty to split up Contreras and Walker.
Right.
So Walker may hit 7th, which is actually what I would probably expect early, would be either Burleson or Carpenter between those two guys to split up the
Donovan
righties.
Donovan was going to get some time at the DH spot as well.
Won't sure,
be,
sure, right,
just
right.
Be Carpenter.
Right. No, yeah. No. And it would be like, you know, Burleson in left or what? How or Donovan in left. However they end up doing it, I would suspect they're going to try to break up Contreras and Walker with a lefty. So Nootbaar later in the year, or Gorman, depending on how they end up wanting to do the 3-6. But it made it, Ollie made it sound like the 3-6 is where they're going to be flipping Gorman and Nootbaar, depending on matchups or who's going well or whatever. But I like Gorman in that higher spot. I like having him between the two big right-handers.
I mentioned Donovan. He's probably, when he's in there, he's probably going to be your leadoff
hitter. He's got to be. He's your best on-base guy.
But he's not going to be in there every single day. So what the non-Donovan lineup looks like will be kind of interesting, because you kept talking about Matt Carpenter.
Yeah.
We're going to see Donovan sometimes in left. We'll see him sometimes as the DH. We'll see him sometimes at second. And on those days, maybe you DH Gorman.
Yep.
But there are going to be some days where Donovan isn't in the lineup, and then you got to figure out who's in that leadoff spot.
Yeah, and that'll depend on who's healthy.
Right.
Right. If it's Edmund, it's probably him, because you'll probably give Donovan days off against lefties if you're going to do it, and that's where Edmund is strong. So, you know, you have some options there. And look, it could be Victor Scott. It could be, you might, look, Mason Wynn's hitting against lefties or whatever. It could be Newt. I mean, again, you know, Newt and Donovan are your two best on-base guys, along with Goldschmidt, but you're not going to lead him off, so... You know, those would be both guys that can sit up, that can hit up there.
I think they're fully, they want to have Goldschmidt in that 2 spot a lot.
Yeah, I like him there.
And maybe 2-3 years ago, I wouldn't have liked him there, but I think as he has evolved a little bit as a player, and he's somebody who did struggle this year in spring, and he's coming off not a fantastic year last year. I think there's still some question marks about Goldschmidt being in that 2 spot. Probably gives him as good of a spot anywhere in the lineup to have some success.
Yes, and, you know, look, he's not a base clogger. He's a good base runner. You know, he's not as fast as he probably was 5 years ago, but he still runs well enough to be in that spot, and you're not like, oh, well, you can't, you're station to station. He's not that guy. And, you know, with Goldie, I don't sweat spring training with guys like that. You know, people look at his down numbers from his standards last year, but man, his batted ball numbers were good.
Yeah.
He hit the crap out of the ball. He got a lot of bad luck last year. So I feel pretty good about him anywhere. But, you know, when you're lining up on base percentage in the 1 and 2 spots, which is what they're going to do, whether it's Donovan or Nootbaar at the top and Goldschmidt there, those are all three of those guys are on base guys. And that's what's great. When you're setting the table for Gorman, Arenado, Contreras, that's how you get things going, is guys at the top getting on base. You know, in their cases, I would expect those guys all to be, what, 36, 37, 38% on base?
Yeah. You would think so. And this is a big year for Gorman, because his numbers last year were great, but he couldn't stay on the field.
And hopefully the new stretching routine and all the stuff they did to
the popcorn changing.
Yeah, popcorn, the change of the popcorn. But hopefully just the idea that you're going to have constant maintenance about a problem area will get you through the year, because he was on pace for like 33 home runs before he went down. He had 27 and he missed the last month. So he's a big part of everything. And he also showed that he can handle lefties last year. And I didn't hear anything from Ollie Marmol or anyone else suggesting that he wasn't going to face lefties. In fact, sounded like they're like, look, Donovan, Nootbaar, Gorman, those guys are going to face lefties. We're not protecting them from anybody.
Feels like to me, Gorman's going to get more time at second base than Donovan.
Well, I think part of it's going to be early. You're going to need Donovan in left some.
But even if everybody was healthy, I think it was trending in that direction, where when spring got started, I would have said the opposite. I would have said we're going to see a lot of Gorman at DH, and we're going to see a lot of Donovan at second. And just as spring moved along, and they were very careful with Donovan, too. They didn't want to put him in the outfield until very late in spring, just to protect, just not make him force those long throws. But if we can base anything upon the way lineups were built in spring, really seems like Gorman is the main guy at second.
Yeah, and look, some people, every guy's a little different. I don't know what their evaluation is, but some players are totally comfortable moving around. And Donovan sure seems to be that guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's moved around a lot as a major leaguer, and it never really seems to have impacted him. And we haven't seen Gorman move around a lot, so I don't know if it would impact him or not. Maybe they just feel like him being in a consistent routine is what's better for him.
I... I feel like he got a touch at third, but I mean,
he'll get a few games there when Arenado gets a day off or something.
I don't know if I'd put him there at this point.
I would.
Second in DH and let him be, and then figure something else out.
A handful of games here and there, I'd probably do it because, look, you never know. Like, let's just say Arenado has to miss 3 weeks. Well, your best option then is Gorman. He's your best next. Here's your next best third baseman.
I would say Donovan.
Gorman's got the better arm and obviously the extensive experience playing there. But either way, that would be bad. So let's not talk about it because we don't want Arenado out of this lineup. If he's out of this lineup, that's a problem.
Yeah, and they've got enough guys out of the lineup
right now.
Like I said earlier, the Edmund Carlson stuff. I don't think it's that much of a drop off with Victor Scott, but this team's going to miss Lars Nootbaar.
I think so. I mean, Lars is a hell of a player. You know, if you look at his regular numbers, they're good. If you look at his, his like OPS plus, you know, relative to the league, he's good. You look at his batted ball numbers, they're good, but he can't stay on the field. And it's hard to count on somebody as an everyday player if they can't, you know, if you can't be like, let's get him, we want 140 games, 130 games, whatever. I mean, if it's going to be 110, well, that's a lot of games you don't have him in there and you're going to have somebody else, you know, take up that spot. And he's a pretty good hitter. He's not going to hit 30 homers, but I think he's very easily a 20-homer guy if you can get 130 games.
And there's an expectation this year that guys are available. When you look at the offseason moves that were made, specifically to Tyler O'Neill, now there's other stuff going on with O'Neill, but
right. The
front-facing statement from the Cardinals was, we need to have a more consistent group on the field. O'Neill, we can't trust to be in there, so we're moving on from him. That wasn't said about Lars Nootbaar, but Nootbaar, to your point, has also had a hard time staying out there.
Yeah, and look, with Nootbaar, because you have so much more team control of him, if he ends up being more of a part-time player, that's not the end of the world because you're not paying him anything, and he's not a year away from free agency like O'Neill was in this past offseason. So if that means that the way it plays out is he's going to get more time off to keep him healthy, that's fine. I mean, like, again, when your roster is healthy, and it's going to be a little bit before it is, that you get him out, you get him the days off against lefties, and that's where Carlson plays, and Carlson handles lefties. So, you know, you've got ways to manage it, but in an ideal world, you want an everyday lineup, and you want Nootbaar to be a part of it.
I'm very curious. I don't know if this is going to happen or not. We don't know what Victor Scott is going to look like. By the way, I love the fact that he went with the number 11 because now it says Scott the second basically on the back, which is just great.
Plus, that's a good number for a guy that you think is going to be around for a bit.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Like that's his. I think you can go out and buy a Victor Scott number 11 jersey and feel pretty good about that. It was funny in spring there was a bunch of people wearing Jose Fermin jerseys, and he had to change his number when Crawford came in.
Oh yeah.
So
all
these people had the wrong number on their Fermin jersey. But anyways, that being said, this is a long way off. This isn't even a probable situation, but I am very curious if Scott just kind of takes this job and runs with it. And we see that sometimes from rookies. Would it be the first time? If you cannot take him off the field, when a Tommy Edman comes back, does he get shifted back to more of that utility guy where you're looking at him in the outfield and the infield and everything? Does his role change? Because they were so hell-bent upon him only being an outfielder. That's part of them bringing in Brandon Crawford. And I keep wondering, what does it look like for a Tommy Edman if Victor Scott doesn't give up that job?
I mean, if Victor Scott is as good as it looks like he can be, like if he does anything close to what he did in the minor leagues, then Tommy Edman's a utility guy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, one, he doesn't hit right-handers well, and he's not a kid. What's he, 30 years old now? Close to it? 29 maybe?
I'm doing the math in my head,
But I mean, like, you're at this stage of your career, you've not proven you can hit right-handers, you're coming off a wrist injury, which means I'm not taking a healthy guy out that's performing for a person that's had a wrist injury, and even if that wrist injury is healthy, hand and wrist injuries are really tough for hitters.
28, by the way.
Yeah, he's 28, okay. Same.
But he'll be 29 point. In a few weeks.
Okay, so same point stands, right? I mean, you've been around a bit, and you haven't shown a consistent ability to hit right-handed pitching at the major league level. And if Victor Scott is doing that, well, then, yeah, you know what? That's what happens. And what probably ends up happening in that scenario is they wave goodbye to Crawford. I mean, if you're in that spot, nobody else is going. I mean, it's either that or Carpenter. Because if we're talking about when everybody's healthy, and Victor Scott would be taking one of the spots that he would not, because he wasn't going to make this team until the injuries. If you've got Carlson and Nootbaar and Edman and Carpenter and Ivan Herrera, I mean, there's no room for Crawford at that point.
I can't argue with what you're saying, but I feel like this team is all in on Brandon Crawford being a really big part of it.
Maybe, but I mean, that's a scenario that they didn't necessarily plan for.
True.
And you're not. It doesn't seem like they would move on from Matt Carpenter. That would be the other option. Because in that scenario, Burleson's already at AAA.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at that point, he's already there. You're not getting rid of Herrera because you have to have a backup catcher. So, really, it's one of those two guys that would go, and it's the veterans. And if Edman is moving into a super utility role, because that's what it would be in that scenario, well, there's your backup shortstop.
And the problem with Edman in the super utility role is you already have Donovan. I mean, there's so much redundancy between those two guys.
Well, I mean, it might end up becoming a case where it's a little bit more of a platoon situation. I mean, maybe Edman would be better off just facing lefties in this scenario, where maybe that's a tough call for Victor Scott as a left-handed hitter to face major league lefties in his first go-around, and he hasn't seen that kind of stuff. Maybe that's how it works.
Perhaps.
I mean, let's put it this way. If that's how it ends up going down, that's a great thing because that means Scott's doing the job.
Yeah, it's a very good thing, and we're still weeks away from that. But it's a fun thing to kind of think through. And I always say when it comes to roster stuff in baseball, things always just work
It'll
out.
It'll get sorted because somebody else is going to get hurt.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Somebody won't perform or whatever.
People freak out about these things that are 2-3 weeks down the line.
What if we get a month in and Wynn's not hitting?
Yeah.
I mean, there you go. Tommy Edman, slide right in, buddy. You and Crawford share it.
That'd be one way to do it.
I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. Just saying, that's a scenario that could happen, and it's not ridiculous to picture it.
It is not. Wheels, thanks for doing this. We'll do this occasionally throughout the course of the season.
Anytime you want. Let's go, man. Baseball. Let's go.
That's Kevin Wheeler.
Play ball!
Play ball. I'm Matt Pauly. We'll wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line next here on KMOX.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Back at it for one final time. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. The next time we are on with Sports Open Line, we're going to have Cardinals baseball in the books. We'll see if we get any Sports Open Line tomorrow. It might just all be Cardinals post, depending on how long tomorrow's game goes. Just what's going to happen tomorrow. The Cardinals-Dodgers, they are scheduled for a 3:10 first pitch. That means our programming with our pregame show will start at 2:15. We'll have Cardinals-related programming all day long. You know, I like it when the Cardinals start the season at home, but in many ways, starting the season on the road gives us an opportunity to kind of celebrate the start of the season twice, because we'll celebrate tomorrow as the season officially gets underway, and then obviously next week on Thursday when it's the home opener, it's another opportunity to celebrate. But you know, kind of final thoughts as we wrap up the program today, I'm excited. I'm optimistic about what the Cardinals are going to be this season. I'd be lying to you if I didn't see the potential pitfalls. I think we can all look at the starting rotation and say, okay, how much better is this rotation compared to last season? And this is a conversation that we've had over and over and over. I think that conversation kind of got thrown into our faces even more when Sonny Gray got injured, and you look at the rotation without Gray, there's pressure on Miles Michaelis to be a guy who can be a top of the rotation starter, because right now you look at the top of the rotation and you see Sonny Gray and you say, who's your two? Who's the guy that if you're in a playoff series, you feel comfortable as your second starter who can give you a chance to win? And just the fact that they're going with Miles Michaelis on opening day, I guess he's the de facto number two at this point. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with Zach Thompson, because he's got the profile to be someone who can be a very good pitcher. He's still got some development to get to that point, but we've talked about it over and over and over and over and over again. At some point in time, some of these young pitchers that the Cardinals have been developing, they've got to turn into some version of their best self. And it's a great opportunity for Thompson here through the first week and a half, 2 weeks of the season before Sonny Gray does return. It's a great opportunity for him to show that he deserves to be right there. And what happens when Sonny Gray comes back could be largely dependent upon what Thompson does. If Thompson takes a couple starts and he's really good and he profiles out as a strikeout guy, which is something that they don't have a whole lot of in the rotation, you make them come to a tough decision. That's kind of all of a sudden what the theme is for this Cardinals team. Potential tough decisions. And like I was talking about with Kevin Wheeler in our last segment, in baseball, things just tend to work out. We get worried about these decisions and things that might be happening moving forward. but you know, somebody's going to be coming back off injury in a week and there's no spot on the roster. Not always, but so often things just find a way to work themselves out. So as we sit and talk through potential situations, whether it's a Zach Thompson finding a way to stay in the rotation, whether it's a Victor Scott playing so well that you have no choice but to keep him on the major league roster, whatever it might be, those are good problems to have. And if they truly are problems, they're problems that more often than not, they just kind of work themselves out. And as a Cardinals fan, be rooting for those things. Be rooting for Zach Thompson to pitch so well that a tough decision has to be made. Be rooting for Victor Scott to play so well that a tough decision has to be made, because tough decisions occur more often than not when things are going well. And a lot of things have to go well for the Cardinals. I'm not running away from that fact whatsoever. You got a lot of guys who are expected, or it's going to be a very good thing for the team for them to have bounce back seasons. And some of the guys had fine seasons last year, but you still want a little bit more. You want more from Nolan Arenado. You want more from Paul Goldschmidt. You want more from Matt Carpenter. You want more from Miles Michaelis. The true bounce backs, you want a lot more from Lance Lynn. You want him to look more like who he looked like 2 years ago and not last season. But it is a season where you are asking for a lot of individuals to have some level of bounce back, whether it's a small amount or a large amount. That one thing, how many of those guys actually do bounce back, will go a long way towards how good this season is actually going to be for the Cardinals. All right, that is just about going to do it. Tomorrow, Cardinals baseball, 3:10 first pitch, 2:15 for the pregame. We're going to be on right here on KMOX. I can't tell you how excited I am to be coming your way tomorrow afternoon as we get started with another Cardinals season 2024 here on the home of the Cardinals. We will talk to you tomorrow. Thanks to all of our guests today. What a fun show with John Tudor and Tom Pagnazzi and Danny Wexelman and Kevin Wheeler was with us. Have a wonderful evening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow for Cardinals baseball right here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.